What's up, everyone, and welcome to the return of your favorite podcast and mine about tokusatsu, the Tokusatsu World Tour, here with my co-conductor, as always. I would say the poppy peepopopo to my ex-aide, Gem from Pronghorn Heroes. How's it going?
What is going on, everybody? It is great to be back doing podcast stuff or with my dude Hawkilles.
We're already off to a wonderful start.
All right.
Real quick, I want to shout out some subscribers in the chat. What is up, Ald and Tokuhead, and first time chatter Sky Robo. How y'all doing on Tuesday night? If you've never been to the Tokusatsu World Tour, let me explain what we're doing every week. It's hard because it's a detour. We haven't done it for a few weeks. But every week, we come on here and talk about one episode of Tokusatsu that's usually free and legally available for everyone. If it's not, we do something like tonight, where it's a Tokusatsu World Detour, because we decided, hey, we needed to do something very special for Christmas. And why not review the most infamous episode of Tokusatsu Christmas Special, X-Aid Episode 12.
It's the only Christmas thing that I can think of that's Toku related. Like, obviously, like I mentioned to you, there's like Go Busters, who like their backstory is set during Christmas, but like it wouldn't be the same if we were like, hey, we're gonna do a detour about the first episode of Go Busters. I feel like talking about this episode makes the most sense for a Christmas special, honestly, in my eyes. And I mean, like, we were talking about it before it. Aside from Christmas, this episode has a lot that is very important to the show, so we'll get into that shortly.
Yeah, for the record, I voted for the Masked Rider Christmas special. I think Christmas Furbis is the best Furbis.
No.
Jem vetoed that right away.
Wow. Holy crap.
But it's been a minute since we've been here. How you been?
Yeah, man, it's been a while. I mean, I've just been trying to do stuff, you know? I've been trying to stay busy. You know more than anybody, but I've just been trying to like organize some stuff in the channel around, kind of just be a little better at being a content creator, because I feel like sometimes I lose my head a little bit and I just got to like hone in on some stuff. So I've just been working on the channel. We changed up Heroes Homemade a little bit. It is no longer like a like landscape horizontal type format video. We've changed that up to like for it to shoot like more like TikToks and like Instagram reels and stuff like that. So aside from that, I've just been hungry for Toku content, because 2021 had a lot of stuff to talk about, and I think, you know, that's something we'll talk about tonight and in future discussions.
Yeah, maybe look out for something next week.
Yeah, so that's what I've been up to, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm going to back to Arizona to my family's house after Christmas, the week of like Christmas. So I'm waiting on like a bunch of stuff to ship in the mail and get here. And I'm like, fingers crossed that it gets here in the next few days.
Yeah.
Some stuff that I pre-ordered from Toku Collectibles.
Yeah.
And because if not, it's just gonna be sitting on my front porch, which is never great.
Which would be a bummer.
Absolutely. Other than that, like you said, just working on the YouTube channel. I'm almost at 2,000 subscribers, which I'm trying to get to by the end of the year. I'm 11 away. So if you're watching this, listening to this, and you haven't subscribed, go subscribe, please.
Go subscribe. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, he already hit 2,000, but go subscribe anyway.
Fingers crossed. And if you're already subscribed, don't unsubscribe, because that would just break my heart. If I lost like 200 subscribers in the next day, I would be so sad.
Definitely a bummer.
But yeah, other than that, just getting ready for this. We will announce at the end of this episode when the Tokusatsu World Tour will officially return, our first guests, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back officially, because it's going to be a brand new year, and I think we're going to come back in a very cool way.
Yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff planned. But, Jem, there's one thing that happened today that I just want to touch on, because we're both going to talk about it separately at some point.
Yes.
But what did you think about avocado? Ooh, here we go. This is going to happen a million times.
No. Can we do that, though? Can we say avocados? Is that fucked up to say?
Avocado Sentai Don Brothers. We got our first official image today. Jem, what did you think?
Dude, I am very excited. I'm very excited. And just like based off aesthetic alone, because obviously I don't know much about the story. I don't know much about the Momotaro aspect that obviously Japan loves, because not only have we seen it in this, we've seen it in the Denno Imajin, and I've seen it throughout like Sentai episodes here and there, or like in like one-off Kamen Rider episodes, like the Momotaro theme. So I'm excited to see what they do with that in like a full Sentai show, because they all look super different. They're not like the same size. Like, we just got like a ragtag team, like a crew of like members that are just going to create the Sentai. I don't know, I'm liking it a lot.
I hope Little Black Wolf Dude steals my heart. That's the boat I'm in right now. I'm also, be honest, I read all the leaks and everything. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand 90% of them. Just like, they're very entrenched in Japanese culture. So I was reading them and I was like, I don't get this. I don't understand this.
Right.
But seeing it and seeing the silhouettes, and people would do like fan art and traces of it and stuff. Seeing the actual picture of Don Momotaro's the red one. He looks way cooler than anything y'all drew. Anything anyone drew on the internet. This dude looks way cooler. So I'm like totally on board for it. The bike looks sick. So I'm super excited for that.
Yes, absolutely. Peacemaker says in the chat, Inoue has as the main writer makes me concerned. I don't like a lot of the things he has written. That's very interesting, because one of the things he has written is Jetman, and that's widely loved by the Sentai community. I would give you Fize and Kiva, because he has written those as well. And Kiva definitely has like a whiplash of like story around like episode like 30, I would say. And Fize, I know a lot of people have their opinions about Fize. I've only watched the first like 15 episodes, so I can't speak much to that. But knowing Jetman, if we're just relating it to that, I'm pretty excited for Dawn Brothers and having Inoue back as a writer.
I don't know anything about him as a writer. Besides, I guess we watched the first episode of Kiva for the podcast. But seeing everyone else hyped about it, I think got me more hyped about it. I was just like, I don't know who this is, but cool. Let's go.
What we can expect is just maybe like a different vibe or like a different feel to stuff. And I'm not saying it's going to be completely different from what we've been seeing these last couple of years, but I do think that you are going to sense a difference between what we've been getting and what this season could be if he does do what he does, honestly, because like he could do some serious stuff with the show, but he could also just do some wacky stuff. So I guess we just got to see. And I don't know him that well, because I've only seen Jetman, I guess, in Kiva as well. But I like Kiva, so my opinion is void.
you heard it here first. Expect some wacky stuff. Expect some serious stuff. So Super Sentai. That's it. Will
literally
continue the tradition.
They picked the perfect person.
All right, you ready to talk about what we're here to talk about?
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Let's get to the rundown for Kamen Rider X-Aid episode 12, titled Christmas Special, Targeting the Silver Xmas. It is the 12th episode of the Kamen Rider X-Aid series. It features the debut of Genem Zombie Gamer Level 10, X-Aid Sports Action Gamer Level 3, Brave Santa Beat Gamer Level 3, along with a Christmas version of X-Aid Action Gamer Level 1, and the Sports Gamer, as well as two new characters, Masamune Dan and Nico Saiba. It also explains for the first time that Poppy Peepapopo is a bugster in true nature. It was written by Yuya Takahashi, director by Kyohei Yamaguchi. And let me get some fun facts in here as well. This is the first time I'm reading this page. And it's,
no,
it's so long for one episode.
One thing I noticed too is that I think this is the first episode we get an official game over for a main character in the series right at the end. And that obviously hits like anything else.
Yep. All these fun facts are kind of things we're going to talk about throughout the show. It is the final X-Aid episode to air back in 2006. This is the first time since its debut that X-Aid doesn't assume Hunter Action Gamer Level 5 Full Dragon. It's also the first time since their debut that X-Aid, Brave, and Snipe don't assume their Level 5 forms.
Nice. You said 2006, but you mean 2016,
2016,
right?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay, cool. How dope would it be if X-Aid came out in 2006, though? What a rewrite.
It officially aired in Japan on December 25th of 2016. So on Christmas Day itself.
Nice. Oh, my God. How... So, okay, well, first of all, I would like to say, like, spoilers, right? Mm-hmm. Because...
Oh, far and away, yes.
I think for X8, but for other seasons, because, like, I have some points to bring up from other shows. So, like, spoilers for X8, spoilers for Drive, spoilers for Build, I would say. If you haven't seen those seasons, I might spoil a thing or two. But I dude, okay. I did mention that there was a Togu star that I noticed. Mm-hmm. Shuhei's mother, the person that is the baker... who makes the cakes. She is also someone, I believe she was a character in Kamen Rider Kabuto. I don't have it pulled up right now, but she's been in other Toku, and we love casts that come back from other shows because clearly, obviously, you know, like it's a job, but they love it enough to come back, and I think that's amazing. Yeah. Sorry, where were we at? I fucking lost it.
I'm going to ask you one word. Give me one word to describe this episode to you.
Please do. I again hadn't thought of it. Wow, we're right back into it, huh? It feels good to be back.
We never left, everyone. Let's go.
We are still here.
I can go first if you want.
Yeah, if you have one, go for it, please.
Yeah, I'm gonna say crucial. I think this episode is far more crucial to X-Aid than anyone remembers it to be. Rewatching it this morning or last night, I was like, whoa, there's a lot of stuff in this that, like, this episode gets remembered for the one thing that we will get to. But there is so much more that happens in this episode that means more for the overall arching plot of X-Aid.
Yeah, like, you get character introductions, you get things that are important to the show, like a game over. I don't know, like the upgrade aspect. I think there are a lot of crucial aspects that get used later on and that mean more later on in the show that are introduced in this episode. So I completely agree with you there. Mm-hmm. I think the word I'm going to give it is bipolar, because it's very like Christmas episode, like, hey, Poppy's singing her like little jingle bell song, and like it's all fun. We saved the day, we're having cake, and then it just switches. The Christmas theme is over. And like obviously you have some elements of like Kiria visiting Dan Masamune. But once they have cake, everything else is just serious business. Like it's like, okay, I'm gonna kill this guy, because that's what it is, honestly. Like I feel like this was murder.
Oh,
like
yo,
he was going into this knowing what he was gonna do to him.
Yep, it was very premeditated too.
Yes,
I watched it on a website of maybe less than above ground terms, but it splits the episode into two parts. It's like part one and part two, and as soon as you get to part two, like you said, it's just completely different. I'm like,
yes,
it feels like a completely different episode that I honestly forgot that the entire first half of this episode is part of this episode.
Yes. And honestly, like I don't know if you watched X-Aid live, but having seen it live,
that was the last time I'd seen this episode.
Right. And like just going into it, I was expecting like a normal Christmas episode, you know, like you get this often. There's like a fun little thing with like people dressed up as Santa, or like they have the outfits. But then they just totally subvert your expectation of what a Christmas episode could be, and then just really give you a really good episode. Because, again, aside from everything that people remember this for, we're talking about a bunch of things that are actually very important to the show.
Yeah, I remember watching this Christmas morning, waiting for everyone to wake up. Because it came out the 24th for us, and then it got subbed and everything. I remember watching it Christmas morning, waiting for everyone to wake up, and I just remember walking very slow into the living room and being like, time to open presents now. Like, who cares? Nothing matters.
I watched it again immediately. Like, as soon as I finished it, I was like, again, I need it again. And then I watched it over again, and I just, I don't know. I've always loved this episode for the fact that, like, it was one of the first times I was able to connect to a character in the first 12 episodes of a show and then lose him. And obviously he comes back and all that stuff, but like, you think that's it, right? You think that's the end. So like, that was a moment for me where like, oh fuck, this is so meaningful. But when I was watching it today, I was not at all in an emotional state. I was not crying, because now at this point I've had moments like Grease's death that have just like crushed my whole heart.
Yep.
And like the impact of like everybody else when they found out that Kazumin died, you know, like there's that whole episode where now that's like my standard for like rider deaths, I guess. You know, like I cherish them in a certain way, but this one was so memorable for me because this one was unexpected.
Yeah, and I think perusing back now, being so far from it, it's easier to remember now that like Kyria was like a third tier rider up until this point in the show. He was like in and out of episodes every so often, but we weren't with him the whole time. He wasn't like right there in the trenches with Hiro and Emu or Emu. So it's easy to like separate it from it now. But back then, like you said, it was the first time we saw that slider hit zero, that health gauge. And then you can tell he's dying, he's disappearing. And then you get that game over sound and you're like, wait, what? And then it's completely gone. And you're like, oh, this is real. Like this is hard.
Yeah, this is that episode where it went from like, oh yeah, that's a video game themed show to, oh, you're going to die if you lose this game. So I think it really raises the stakes as far as like what other shows have been doing. Like, I don't know. I mean, thinking about episode 12 of Revice, the show that's currently airing as we're filming this, I think episode 12 was what? Sakura's debut as Jean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that was a really great episode. So I guess that's not a good example, but like, you know, like episode 12, like what a random episode to be really stinking good.
Yeah. Peacemaker in the chat says, I feel this episode has made people think that this is the rule rather than the exception when it comes to Christmas episodes. And yeah, that was something I wanted to bring up too, is like, people were like, oh, Toei will crush your soul on Christmas. And I'm like, this is like one of the few times that has actually really happened.
I do think there is a worry now because of it though, that like, fuck man, Christmas episode, I'm not like I'm open to anything going down.
Yeah.
But I also, like I said before, I'm always, especially for Sentai, I'm always expecting like the generic Christmas episode. I think for Rider, because of X8, I will expect like maybe not something to go wrong, but like, I don't think it's just going to be super fun now. Like I'm always just like, all right, well, like I'm just going to have my guard and like see what happens.
I think especially because Ryder is at a good point when Christmas rolls around, that episode 13 to 15 area where like the first arc is ended, we're getting to the next arc. As I talked about in this, when I say this is crucial, this is the first time we get Dan Masamune, who would ultimately become the biggest, like the big bad of the whole season. This is the first time we ever hear about Kamen Rider Chronicle, which ultimately becomes the power up for the big bad of the season. This is the first time we get Nico, who is super crucial to Taiga's overall story.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we get there's something else. Oh, Dangerous Zombie, which is the iconic suit that like Dan Kuroto wears the rest of the whole series.
Speaking of Dangerous Zombie, suit actor Yuya Nawata suit acts Gem for episode 2 and 22, which you might also know Yuya Nawata as Gates in Geo, 01 in 01, and Revi in Kamen Rider Revice. So shout out to Yuya for not only doing something iconic as Dangerous Zombie, but then following it up with stuff like Gates, 01, and Revi. Like, amazing.
Yeah, and that first Dangerous Zombie henshin is so
amazing.
It's eerie, it's hype, it's foreboding. The way he moves is so different than Genom has moved earlier in the series when they like find out who he is and everything. Cause like he's basically black X-Aid up until that point.
Yeah.
Like he moves that way and everything. And then you get Danger Zombie and he's a zombie more or less. And it's just so hype to see him like burst out of the screen the first time.
Yeah. I think I really love that first henshin. Just because, like, I don't know, whenever I think of Dangerous Zombie, that's what I think of, like, his pose of just, like, flipping the thing, putting it in. But right before that, too, I mentioned this to you when we talked about doing this episode, but Kyria's quote-unquote final henshin, when I was watching it live, felt like it was the last one. I was like, why does this feel like it's super impactful? Like, I don't know, like, there was, I had a note on it real quick. It just like the feel of it, the shot, like there wasn't any music playing aside from like the jingle itself. There was just a lot of tension just for that final henshin, or right, quote unquote, final henshin, that watching it live, I was like, wait, something's about to happen. And obviously something did happen.
Yeah, I think the suit actors and the director's direction of the episode makes it very clear that, like, I think it's cool how they make it clear that when Kira henshins, he's not at 100%. He's right. Not at, like, his full self, especially when he goes to Gary Garachamba. He's very, like, slouchy and, like...
Okay, you feel bad when he goes to Giri Giri Chambara. It's like, oh my God, why are you doing this? Just de-henshin, you know?
Yep. And it's one of those things that, like, you didn't see in the episode before, in the preview for the episode before. Mm-hmm. So... it hit harder because you didn't know what was happening. Toei really likes to, for lack of a better word, blow their load in the preview for next episode, whether it be rider forms, deaths, or whatever. In this one, they held back so well.
Yes, absolutely. Can I say that, like, I love that when he actually does pass away, and, like, obviously we can go back to anything you want to talk about before this, because I know this is kind
of,
like,
we're starting at the end, and then we'll go
towards the end of the episode back. But, like, I really love the symbolism of, like, rain, that, like, it starts raining when he dies, because then when he comes back as Laser Turbo, it's also raining when he makes his debut again. And I just love that little note, because then that's something that reminds me of Drive with, like, Chase and Kiriko, when, like, he saved her of that night. And then when he becomes Kamen Rider Chaser, like, I feel like it's also raining, and, like, they have their own meaning for rain. But I just really like how Toku, or I guess Rider, likes to use that as, like, a story element.
I have in my notes, rain makes everything sadder.
Exactly. Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Being someone who, and I won't spoil it, being someone who did see Spider-Man No Way Home this last week, like, ooh, rain makes everything sadder.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Beautiful point.
Going back a little bit to one of the things I love the most about X-Aid, which I wanted to bring up kind of in terms of, like, revives and stuff, because everything Reiwa era, we've gotten kind of, like, this animal theme for all the gimmicks so far.
Definitely.
Whereas X-Aid knew what it was, and it just held strong to it, because the Santa Claus being a limited time power up or a limited time event item is something you would absolutely find in gaming. And X-Aid just leans into it so well. It's one of those series that I don't love every form in it. Trust me. There are tons of forms in X-Aid that I'm like, this is ugly as hell.
Yeah.
But I respect it so much more for leaning as hard into its gimmick and theme as it does.
Yeah, dude, that's a great point. I honestly... oh my gosh, I had a really good thought with what you just said, and then I just lost it. The X-Aid theme, I don't know, man, I like how it's so unique from everything else, like, it like, because it is games, and, like, doctor themes, you do get, like, the element of, like, hey, this is a game, but then they throw you stuff in this episode, like, oh, hey, like, this virus evolves, and, like, that's what viruses do, that's, like, a thing. And then you think about Dangerous Zombie, and, like, I don't know, is that, like, of a game virus that totally drained Kiria's energy? Like, you know, like, I just like little subtle, like, parallels like that I've seen in X-Aid in general. I feel like if I really wanted to sit down and, like, take the doctor and game parallels, I feel like you would find a bunch, because they're so good with doing that.
Yeah, and they throw it in, like we said, so seamlessly, because they have these other power-ups that they use where they just break the brick and they're like, oh, cool, this power, let me take this. I also wanted to say that the visor that Dan uses to henshin would 1,000,000% be a premium Bandai item right now.
You think so?
Like, if X-Aid came out today, definitely.
Wow. I mean, I get it. You're talking about, like, the Buggle Driver, the thing?
Yeah, I was looking looking at the screen, and I was like, this would be premium Bandai. Like, they'd be like, it's got an LCD, guys. Like, premium Bandai.
It would definitely make sense, because it is, like, before he uses it as a belt, it's, like, the weapon that he uses, and, what's his name, Graphite. Like, they use it to, like, change. So it would make sense that nowadays it would be a premium Bandai item.
Yep. No doubt in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to the Bakers a little bit, I think this episode gets remembered, obviously, a little too much for the ending, when, like, the story of, like, the kids' mom and dad working for Christmas as hard as they do is, like, a really kind of heavy story.
Oh yeah, it's super sad. I relate to this because Sophie and I met in culinary school, mm-hmm. and something they tell you in culinary school is, hey, this life is in the kitchen. Like, if you decide to make this your career, you're never gonna see your family again. Like, they straight up tell you, they're just like, holidays, don't care. Like, you have to work. Like, just cause, like, in the industry, that's what you do. You just, like, work. Cause people usually go out, cause not everybody celebrates holidays. So, like, you have to be there to work and you have to be there cooking food. So, like, when they throw themes in like that, that I can just resonate in, like, a different way, it's really messed up.
It's just like, this life, once you're in, you don't get out.
You can't get out. Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. I guess that's with any job, right? Any career path you have to take. It's like, hey, you got to commit. And sometimes you don't really get to have time to chill with your family. But like for the people that do make cakes, bakers, pâtissiers, like, they're all hardworking people, especially around the holidays.
Yeah, and my mom and my dad both worked at restaurants. That's how they met. My mom stayed in restaurant business throughout her whole life. And it's like you said, definitely a thing where it's like holidays are when I don't see my, or I didn't see my mom the most. She was working all the time and she'd get home at like 3 a.m. and like, she'd bring stuff home all the time, which is cool. We'd always get like leftovers from the shop and everything. But this 100% resonated with me where I was just like, oh, I feel bad for that kid. But then the switch of like, hey, he was making them a present for Christmas and he wasn't just acting out like they all thought he was.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really nice.
No, it's 100% really nice. My favorite part in this episode, and it's not as emotional as we've been getting, but it's when Poppy is still singing and he's like, shut the fuck up, like, because she's still doing her thing and he's just like still stressed in the corner, like the screen is shaking. Like,
it's one of my favorite parts. I have this written down because the whole thing with the Bugster virus is like, if you stress them out, it will like launch the Bugster virus into a new level and all this stuff and it will like make them disappear. I'm like, why does he take the kid to the battle then to see his mom getting dragged out by the hair of her like baking studio? I'm like, that's definitely stressing him out. But then they don't mention it, and then Poppy's singing and he's like, oh, that's what's stressing him out. I was like, no shot, there's no shot that like this kid didn't just straight up disappear by seeing his mom almost die.
Oh, absolutely. I also, quick note, I really like how they chose a cake and like a baker to like do the storyline with, because they could have chosen like another restaurant or like an actual, like, or not actual, but like a food line cook chef type situation. But with bakers, like, cake around Christmas time is like the thing that they love to eat. Like in Japan, it's fried chicken and like Christmas cake. Like, that's what I've seen from like a bunch of different creators from outside of Toku even. And I think that's so cool that like, that's why last week's Heroes Homemade was fried chicken. And that's why this upcoming one is going to be cake, just because like in Toku, it's so, I feel like the cake thing through this episode I've seen is just like important to people, you know? And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. The cake that bake him too is really, really sweet. Like, it's like him on Christmas Day and like there's a big old tree on it and everything. And I was like, oh, that's cute. But like, also the other side of me was like, wouldn't you be tired of cake if you were this kid? And you're like, oh, cake for my present again.
Right, like another cake.
Yeah.
Also, how messed up for them to use cake in a way of like, hey guys, you know that thing that you love getting on Christmas? Well, this little boy's parents has to make them and he can't see his parents now because you want cake. Like, how messed up is that?
Literally just speaking to everyone like, hey, you know that cake? There's a price to it. There's a cost.
Yeah. When she first got introduced, I thought she was... Oh, wait, hold up.
I have Bang Bang shooting right here. It's the only gash that I own.
when she debuted, I thought she was Emu's sister. I was like, yo, who is this? Is this his sister? I always think people are each other's siblings. Like, when Grease debuted, I thought he was Misora's brother and the owner's other son. But, like, that isn't the case. But when she was introduced, I was like, I wonder if she's going to be super important. And like, I think she is to an extent, but I thought she was going to be a little bit more important to Emu and not just like a rival from like, just like history, you know?
Yeah. I definitely think she's more important to Taiga's story than Emu's. In total, but she also is like kind of our tie to Kamen Rider Chronicle when that gets introduced. She's the first one enter the game and be like, hey, I gotta do this. And she's the one that they all help win the game.
Yes, absolutely. I think by the end,
spoilers
and even
for
after
the end of X-Aid, by the way, just way past this episode.
I think even after the show in the V-Cinemas, I appreciated Nico more than I did during the show, like watching it live, like throughout the many rewatches I've had. And then, like I said, finishing the V Cinemas, I don't know. I just really ended up enjoying her character a lot more.
Hold on. People are saying we're off stream. Let me check real quick.
Oh, really?
Nope. We're back. Cool. We dropped for a second. We're back.
Wow. Nice. Okay, cool.
Peacemaker says she got her own snipe form on the stage show, which was neat.
Oh, that's sweet. Wow.
That's dope. Honestly, I've never seen any of the stage shows. I've heard they're like neither. Some of the best things in Rider.
I'm so upset because stage shows have so many cool suits. Like, I'm pretty sure Build had like an Evolt that had like genius colors. Mm-hmm. And this new Saber one had Tassel become a Rider. Like, why can't we get that in the show, dude? Like, that's what I wanted in the show.
Yeah, so knowing Nico got her own snipe form is hype because she was the person I wanted most by the end. Like, hey, she kind of deserves this. Give her her moment. Like, you've used her so much in the plot. She gets Gamer Virus at some point. She's the one you help beat Kamen Rider Chronicle, which is how the whole thing ends. And Taiga kind of takes her spotlight at the end when he's like, no, I'll be Kamen Rider Chronicle.
Definitely, 100%. I think she should have became any rider, but mm-hmm. I do like that like pseudo rider aspect, and in X8's terms it's like a ride player, but you know, like Machine Chaser before he becomes Kamen Rider Chaser, like he is a kind of like pseudo hero type character, you know what I mean? Like, he has a henshin device but he's not like a Kamen Rider. So I don't know, I really like that for Nico, but I agree with you that she should have become just an official rider by the end.
Yeah. But by the end, you know, like we said, more part of Taiga's story than anything else. I think her and Emu's thing gets resolved in like 2 episodes. It's not like a big plot point. But I do like Nico. So I thought it was important to point out like this is the episode where we first introduced to her.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Can we talk about Dan Masamune's mullet, or like, are we just going to totally like
real quick? I love that Taiga is like who referred you here? Like, he's not working out of a condemned hospital that like he doesn't actually take patients. He's just like, hey, who referred you here?
I'm surprised that he gets anybody coming there because it literally looks abandoned.
Yeah, he shouldn't get anyone. That's why when he like says that, it's like, you're not even an actual doctor. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Dan Masamune's mullet, go ahead.
Do you like it? I don't like mullets in general, dude. As soon as I saw that thing, I was like, cut it, buddy.
I love mullets. Being a fan of wrestling, I love mullets. But I think at the time watching this live, I kind of paid no attention to him because like,
really?
Yeah, he was just a dude and like, he doesn't show up for maybe another 10, 15 episodes.
So this is one of those things that I like to do where like I sometimes theorize about stuff like speed. Sento being Katsuragi, just like with some weird face swap. Like, I don't know how I called that, but like, I told Sophia, I was like, why do I feel like that's the other guy? They have the same hairstyle. Like, it's just weird. I don't know how it happens, but I feel like it's going to happen. And then you see like Stark use fucking smoke to like change his fucking face to that one character. And I was like, that's it. It's over.
That's how he did it.
Exactly. But with this, when I saw Masamune, I was like, that's got to be somebody. He's important, not just for this episode. Like, this is so random, and he's so, like, menacing just by, like, staring at him with his, like, hair, like, face half covered, you know what I mean? That I always knew. I was like, he's going to come back. And then I hated him when he does come back, because I hate him as Chronicle. He's so annoying.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He's the worst character.
He is the worst character in X-Aid. Agreed. What's up, Jaggies? Thanks for the subscribe. 5 months in a row. Shout out. A little reminder, anyone that subscribes before the end of December is entered into a contest to win a Blu-ray set for Kamen Rider 01. I almost said X-Aid, but I was like, X-Aid's on the mind right now. Sorry. So thanks for the subscribe.
And I'm adding to that. I'm going to add a thumbs up from Jem from Pronghorn Heroes.
Thumbs up from Jem?
No, seriously though. This driver, and for the audio listeners, I'm showing the Buggle Driver 2 or Tsuvai. But I hated this thing just like I hated the Thousand Driver. And I only got it because I just need it for Poppy. Like, I just want to display Poppy's thing in here. But the Chronicle thing is for Nico. You know, like, I'm not trying to represent Chronicle because I hate him.
He's the worst.
He's just so annoying by the end. Like, I think it's a cool power set. Like, the whole pause thing is annoying, but I think it's cool, obviously, like, the game aspect. But like,
yeah, the once first he's time like, he does that rider kick is so sick. I think.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But like, once he keeps dying and coming back and just like never dies, it's just super annoying.
Yeah, throwback to the beginning of the episode for a little bit. As soon as they get in the fight of the Garrosword, thank you for the subscription.
Hey, Garrosword.
As soon as they get into the fight. When they like get the Santa suit and everything, they start playing the X-Aid theme song.
Yeah.
I've told you this many times. I'm going to tell this chat right now. X-Aid is my favorite rider opening, bar none. Like, so
really?
It always gets me hyped when I hear it. Like,
wow. I think it's good, but like, I obviously have a bias. I don't even have to say mine, but yeah, no, I think X-Aid before 01 was one of the best ones. And I like of the new ones, because there's some early Heisei ones that I really like.
I think X-Aid 01 has that feel of X-Aid 2, where it's just so dancey and hype at the same time. Like, you can like get that workout montage to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and X-Aid being...
I agree with that.
X-Aid being a full, like, fully fledged song, like, the full version of it is so good.
Yes, oh, the full version is really good. While we're talking about X-Aid music, though, can I mention Life is Beautiful, which is the song from the movie? Because that song is on our playlist, on Sophia's Spotify playlist. Like, I always am playing that song next to, what is it, Everlasting Sky by Beverly for the Build movie, for Be the One. Like, those two movie tracks are so good, but Life is Beautiful is so damn good. I love it.
Anyone that's a fan of that Beverly Be the One, there's an English version of it on Spotify. It's amazing.
Hell yeah.
But no, yeah, the Ekisai, as soon as it kicks in on the fight, I was like, I forgot how hype this song is. Like, let's go.
Yeah, it just brings you back, honestly. I think that's what I love about the X-Aid theme song. It really does bring me back to the show and like puts me back into that world and that like mindset of like the gamer doctors.
Yeah, because this episode doesn't have an opening on it.
No, they do skip the opening and then they just like play it later on.
They go straight into it, which is my indicator that, hey, something big is going to happen in this episode because we don't have enough time.
No.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to fit the intro.
They're like, we got stuff to do. You'll hear it later during the credits. Exactly. Like at the end of the episode.
Like, don't worry about it. I also, speaking of the end of the episode, it just goes silent and I think it's the most beautiful thing. I wish they would have skipped the going straight into the next week, blah, 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 because it goes silent and then the game over stays on the screen and goes black. And I'm just like, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Probably looks great on DVD.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, a lot of people are saying a Wish in the Dark in the chat. I think that's a good song.
Which one's Wish in the Dark?
Oh, boy, I'm not going to try to sing that one. But yeah, it's an X-Aid song. We could look it up if you want. I don't know if you want to just look it up right now, but...
Yeah, I'll look up after the episode.
Nice, cool.
What else you got to say about X-Aid, the episode 12?
Honestly, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can say anything that we haven't already said, because I know we've touched upon a lot of the first that we got in this episode. But I think overall, we talked about like the impact of this, of what this episode has had for like other seasons, and like I guess the general thoughts of people when going into Christmas episodes. I just think it's a great Christmas episode. On its own, like hype aside, like I think it's really good as far as like, you know, like the episode before this one, episode 11, does have something to do with this one, I think, because it is like a two-parter episode. But this episode really feels like I'm around Christmas time. Like there's snowing when like Shuhei is talking to his mom, like you have the cake aspect, like they sing the song, like it's a very cool Christmas episode, and then they just rip your heart out right in the end. And I think that's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing is I think the first half of this episode is a really good Christmas episode. Like, I would accept that on its own if that was
exactly
if that was combined with, like you said, the last episode, because it is two-parter.
Yeah,
that's a great Christmas episode on its own. The later half of this episode, which is, like we said before, the part that everybody remembers, is its whole different thing that overshadows how good the first half of this episode is.
Oh, dude, I totally agree. I cannot agree more.
Yeah. So we always rank or rate the suits for the Tokusatsu World Tour. I think there's two of them we can rate here. There is
I'm thinking dangerous. X-Aid
and Dangerous Zombie.
Yeah. You sure about the Christmas X-Aid one?
Yeah, we could do Christmas X-Aid. I was just thinking X-Aid because it's his show, but then I just remembered we'd never see level 2 X-Aid in this.
Do we not?
I don't think so, right?
Oh,
unless he's at the end.
Right at the end when they run up together.
Okay, cool.
X-Aid and Brave, yeah, right at the end. But I think we can save that for when we watch episode 1.
Yeah, let's go. So let's go with Christmas X-Aid. Christmas X-Aid level 1.
I guess you could talk about this in the first episode as well, but like, what do you think about the Chubby forms?
I hated them at the time. I was just like... I hated them at the time, and they're one of those things that grew on me to where I'm like, oh yeah, that is X-Aid. Like, that's X-Aid's thing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't like how they're used at the end. I'll just say that. But
yeah,
they're one of those things that definitely like grew on me. And the X-Aid suit I think is beautiful, but I also think it's beautiful because I have so much connected with that suit. So
yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. Were you happy when you saw they brought it back for the Christmas thing?
Level 1?
Yeah.
It was fine.
yeah. No, I'm the same way. And like, it's the same thing with like Brave. Like, he gets the little hat and stuff like that. It's like, okay, like, it's not really like a form, but like, it's kind of fun if you want to just have like a Christmas themed situation, you know?
Brave, the form that Brave uses in this is my most hated X-Aid form.
Oh, Dormifa Beat?
Yeah, the DJ one. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Cannot stand it on anyone.
We can talk about that in another episode, but I agree. If I had to give this Christmas suit a rating, probably give it like, I don't know, like a 4 or a 5, you know?
Yeah, I'm in the same area. I'd give it a 4 because it's like,
yeah,
it's the level 1, which I'm already like whatever at. And then they just put this gigantic beard on it.
Santa stuff on him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just the biggest beard possible.
Yeah, so like I'm definitely good on it. How do you feel about Dangerous Zombie?
If I'm not taking my feelings out of it, Dangerous Zombie is an absolute 10 to me. If I'm just going based on like, hey, this is the first time I'm seeing this suit, it's an 8. It's a great suit, I feel like.
Ooh.
My connection to that suit of just like watching the show and everything. And
yeah.
So like, because I think it's 2 episodes after this when he invades Genom Corp. That I think that suit really just hit with me. So like all the way.
But yeah,
I'm just going to put it at an 8 with my feelings detached from it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in the same realm. I'm like 8 or 9, like very high, very high, because I don't know. Like I liked the like black X-Aid, like Gem look for like level 2, but they totally just like upgraded with all the white aspect and all just like, the I don't know if it's armor, but just like the stuff that is on the suit, like I just like the design of it a lot, and it ranks up high, so probably like an 8 or a 9 for me.
Yeah. Drake, thank you so much for the resubscribe 8 months in a row. Yeah, the tubing and stuff that you're talking about, like the almost like life support stuff on Dangerous Zombie, and I'm in the same boat. Whereas Genom level 1 or 2, whatever he is, just the regular like black and purple, didn't work for me on a hey, this is a real imposing villain. Like, he's fine. He's like I said before, he's black X-Aid, he's whatever. But as soon as he got this form, that's when it's like, oh, this is a threat. Like, this is a serious threat. And the way he's just because just in the last episode, we get that Dan switch, that Dan Kuroto personality switch. Whereas this is the episode where he really gets to show it off in front of Kiria for the first time, of like, yeah, actually, this only works in my shit, and then plugs it in and like Henshin's for the first time into Dangerous Zombie. It's everything about that scene. I'm just absolutely, it will live in here forever, if that makes sense.
Yeah, dude, I totally agree. I also just want to note that like, I love how this is the first time we get, aside from like Girigiri Chambara and like the level 3s, but this is the first time you get an actual upgrade for a character. And like after this is then when you get like Double Brothers or like Double Mighty X or whatever that one is.
I didn't realize that comes so soon. I saw it in the preview for next week and I was like, oh, already.
Yeah. But like this like interested or like piqued my interest because it was the first like real power up we got for a character aside from like, you know, the armor changes. I usually call them like form changes, kind of like the best matches or like, you know, like the Revice genomes, you know, like they're all just like form changes until you get that one power up, you know, like Barad Rex or whatever. But yeah, no, that being a thing just like, I don't know, just sets the tone for like everything else that I ended up loving about the season, because I love Double Mighty.
Yeah, it's definitely this episode and the next one are definitely the point where like they just turn X8 up a little bit. Like they're like, all right, we're on the next level, pardon the pun, but we're on the next level. Like stakes are higher, everything's higher, let's just crank it up just a little bit.
Yeah, which honestly like makes me think about Revice nowadays. Like, where are we going? Where's that show going? You know? Because it's good. It's good. It's so good.
Yep. So final thoughts on X8 before we get to announcing when we're coming back and stuff.
Final thoughts on this Christmas special for X8. I think I would watch this every day and I wouldn't get sick of it. It would be like a thing I could throw on for dinner and then just dissect every single day and just enjoy it and just relive that first experience of just like the shock factor of like, oh, he's dying this episode. That's it, you know? But aside from that, I don't think, you know, like I've joked around about like Hiromi dying or like the mom dying in Revice, but I don't think even if a character dies around a Christmas special, it's gonna be like this episode. Like, yeah. I don't think anything will be like this episode because of all the things we did bring up that are super crucial to the show, coming back to your word. But yeah, I think it's a really good episode.
Yeah, this episode made me want to go back and rewatch X-Aid.
Yeah.
Watching it, I was like, oh, I forgot how much I love most of these characters.
Most of them.
Most of them. Hero is even Hero is still like, do you have to be an ass this whole time? Like, you could be nice.
Scalpel.
But even his like little quirks like that, I love that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watching this episode reminded me of how much I love X-Aid. Just because you get so far from a series from watching it and you're just like, oh, that was, I remember it being okay. And then I'm like, I watched this and I was like, oh no, X-Aid was great. Like, I remember really liking X-Aid.
Yeah, I totally agree, dude. Again, I don't think anything or any Christmas episode will be like this. Not saying that something can't top this, because I'm sure we'll get another great Christmas episode down the line at some point, but this one is unique, and I think that people will remember it for whatever reason.
Yeah, the number one thing that attributes to that is, or can speak for that, is you posted the teaser picture, and it just has Dangerous Zombie's eyes in the background, and laser in front of it, and everyone was like, oh shit, they're doing the Christmas episode. They're doing the Christmas episode. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That's all you needed.
Yep. I didn't want to go too specific because I could have just added like Dangerous Zombie, like as like a regular PNG, like everybody else. But I was like, nah, like this episode means a little bit more than that, I think.
Yeah, you had to add Christmas X8 and Poppy in the front.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, because that's the fun aspect, right? That's the fun. And there comes Gem just lurking in the darkness.
Yep. Gem, we've been gone for a little too long, right?
True, man. It's been a while.
It's been a few weeks. We promised y'all we would come back with a season 2 of Tokusatsu World Tour. And we're going to announce it because we are. We're coming back bigger and better than ever.
Bring it back.
Let's go.
Oh, you want me to tell them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I just figured we'd do a little back and forth on it.
Oh, no, yeah, we can do it. Well, I mean, you can tell them if you want. I'm just really excited. I'm really excited to come back. I think I've been watching our old episodes while we haven't been making episodes because I miss the back and forth and I miss just like this format. But then I'm like, oh, I hate hearing my voice, or it's like, oh, I want to just film new stuff so I can hear us talk about new topics. So I'm very excited to see what we get into in season 2 and who we end up having on season 2, because if there's anything that we loved about season 1, it's the guests that we got to have. Do you want to let them know who's coming on the comeback episode with us?
Ooh, we've got one of the biggest guests we've ever had. We've got the architect. One of the architects, one of the mainstays of the Power Rangers Extended Universe, Colin Bass, will be joining us on Wednesday, January 12th, right here, twitch.tv/Achilles, the next day on youtube.com/pronghornheroes, and everywhere you listen to podcast services, because from now on, the Tokusatsu World Tour will be right here Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday, we will be watching, like I said before, one episode of Tokusatsu that is available free and legally to everyone for your viewing and listening pleasure.
Yes, in case you didn't hear that, or in case you heard incorrectly,
tell them again, Jim.
The podcast now is moving from Tuesday to a Wednesday at the same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, but it is on a Wednesday now. So come hang out with us on Wednesdays on twitch.tv/Achilles, and then it'll be uploaded the next day on the good old Pronghorn Heroes YouTube channel.
Whoop, 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 whoop. We will announce what we're watching for that first episode back a little later. I just didn't want to like pry too hard, let everybody enjoy the holidays first.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then that first week of January, we will announce what we are actually watching for the comeback. But we are super excited to have Colin on. We've been trying for a little bit to get him on, and our schedules happen to match up for this one.
Yeah, dude, and I'm super excited to talk whatever we're talking with him, just because of what he's done with the Power Ranger, with the Power Rangers Extended EU, or Extended Universe.
Extended Universe.
That's the next phase. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and the things he's still doing. Like I said, Bloodline of the Grid. Oh, I'm so blanking. Jem, help me out with
Rise
the Ninja.
Rise of the Ninja. Yeah, baby.
God, what a bad plug. I'm such a bad podcast host.
No, it's all good. That's why I'm here. I got the other half. Rise of the Ninja.
Rise of the Ninja, Bloodline of the Grid, Shattered. Like, it's all just, it's all been great so far. So I'm excited to really dive into it and get more of his insight on what that all took and what it's still currently taking, because they're still going.
Yeah, they're still doing stuff. So maybe we can get a little peek.
Yeah.
Behind the curtain.
And plus, Wednesdays also allow us to just hang out here a little more and talk to you guys more after the podcast. We will cut recording and just hang out with you, answer questions, talk about new stuff in Toku, toys or whatever. It's just more of like the first half of the podcast.
Yeah, and since it'll be after Toku Tuesday, we can probably talk about like the current Sentai just as like a little discussion between all of us.
Yeah, the newest episodes and everything. So for this Tokusatsu World Detour, Jem, thank you so much for joining me as the co-conductor, as always.
Dude, it's my pleasure doing this podcast with you. I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else.
Everyone here, we will see you back Wednesday, January 12th.
Peace out, Toku heads. I'll see you next time.
Later, everyone.